Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4. Chapter 4. Are you there yet? Amen. Galatians chapter 4. Excuse me. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 7. And the word of the Lord says, what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, somebody say a child. He is no different than a slave. Somebody say a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, somebody say when I was a child, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem, somebody say redeem. To redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons. Somebody say sons. Because you are sons, God sent his spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, a child, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you also an heir. Oh, can we read this again? I want to make sure you get this into your spirit. What I am saying is that as long as the heir is a child. The heir, what? You can only be an heir if you're a son. So obviously he's speaking about sons. Okay, folks that have grown up. So as long as the son is a child, there's no difference from a slave. Although he owns the whole estate, he is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. Because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba Father. So you are no longer a slave, a child, but a son. And since you are a son, God has made you an heir. Woo! The word of the Lord is always blessed. Somebody give God a shout. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a shout. Hallelujah. Since our Christmas service, I've been speaking about sonship. That theme has entered into my spirit, and every time I look at scripture, every time I go before God, anytime that I even begin to meditate, amen, all I'm hearing is sonship, 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 sonship. Somebody say sonship. You see, you need to understand that it's been now, what, 2 months now? Well, going on 2 months that we've been speaking on becoming sons. Now, when I say the word sons, this is all gender. Okay, we're all sons of God. Okay? We're all, because the Bible says that there is no Jew or Gentile. Okay? So we're all sons of God. But how many of us desire for God to bless us? How many of us desire, amen, God, use me? When we say God, use me, we're saying God, anoint me. Amen? The anointing is simply the power of God. The authority of God. Let me say this again. Many people say, Lord, anoint me. I want to be anointed. The anointing is the very power of God. The anointing is also known as the authority of God. That authority of God, that power of God that we're saying, God, anoint me with, is the very power that created heaven and earth. And that power, that authority, God cannot trust to children. God can only trust His authority, His power, His anointing to His sons. You see, the church can be filled with people, and we're all children of God, but within the household, there might be only a few that are sons of God. See, you can grow old in the church and never become a son. I'm not talking about your salvation. I am talking about the level of responsibility. See, you can grow old and still be a spiritual baby, still be a child. Or you can what? Desire to grow in the Lord. To grow in the Lord doesn't happen naturally. You have to desire to grow, and you have to take the steps to grow. And as you begin to implement those steps, Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then. The problem is that we want the and then first. And then when nothing else works, and then we come to God. And so we want to preach under the anointing. We want to minister under the anointing. We want to sing under the anointing. But God can't trust children with His anointing. God can't trust children with His anointing. He can only trust His sons. See, when we become sons, it means that we have reached a level of maturity that God can trust us. You see, we have folks that are grown in the church, 40 years old, 50 years old, 60 years old, but their attitude, their mentality is still children-like. They get offended. See, children get offended. Children get mad. Sons ought to be able to. Children mistake correction for rejection. But as sonship, you should be able to take the correction with love and make the proper adjustments. So how many times has it, and this is throughout church history, how many times has the pastor not tried to correct some behaviors and folks get mad? And folks get mad, get upset. They pick up their sandals and leave in the huff. They begin to fault find and criticize and just become nasty. So when you see that behavior, it's not the spirit of sonship. It's still a child. Amen. Oh, it got quiet in here real quick. And so we have to mature. We have to mature. That know that when a man or a woman of God is speaking to you, see, I believe that as a pastor, I'm in the business of behavior modification. I think I just made that up. And that's where the fight usually is. This is where the fight usually is, because our job as men of God or women of God, bringing you the truth of God, we have to deprogram some learned behaviors and reprogram that new mind with what? Godly attitudes, godly behaviors, Christ-like characters. And that's where the struggle is. I mean, we can look at Peter. We see Peter who walked on water. Peter who walked on water. Peter who was there to see the miracles. Peter who said, "Don't just wash my feet, wash all of me." Peter who said, "They will all leave you, but I will never leave you." And Jesus was arrested, and he said, "See you later." And he said, "I'm out." And he went right back to where Jesus found him 3 years earlier. He went back to fishing. And that's what happens in the church, that as soon as we hit a stumbling block, as soon as we touch on some behaviors that we hold so dear, they like, "See you later, I'm out." And they go right back to that place where God found them years earlier. This is why we can be worshiping in the house 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years, and all of a sudden God touches on some behaviors that need to be corrected. And all of a sudden folks get mad and upset. You see it all the time. People fighting over the parking lot. Deacons duking it out in the parking lot. It's true. But yet, these are the very same people that say, "I want the anointing. I want to be anointed." Folks, I'm not even preaching. This is just good stuff. I don't pretend to know everything that God is doing. I'm just his mouthpiece. God doesn't tell me everything. But this theme of sonship is really heavy upon my heart. And God has really placed a burden upon my heart to really spend time with those that are desiring to be sons. When men fell from grace and taken out of the garden, we didn't lose a religion. We didn't lose a religion. Many folks falsely believe that God is a religious God and that he loves religious people and that God was the one that started religion. That could not be further from the truth. God is not a religious God. God is God. God did not start religion. Man did. As a matter of fact, God and God the Son both hate religious leaders and religious people. He calls them hypocrites. What God did do, what God did start, you will find it in Genesis 1 and 28. It says, God blessed them and said, who's them? Man, Adam and Eve, right? And God blessed them and he said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion. Somebody say dominion. Over it. You see, that's our assignment. That's our assignment. You want to know what God has for you? You'll find it in Genesis. This is your assignment. This is your purpose. What? To be fruitful. That means what? To what? To prosper. To grow. Okay? To multiply. What? Jesus said it. Go make what? Disciples. Go clone yourself. Go. That is our mandate. To go make disciples. To reach people. To reach souls. That is our highest calling. Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth. Watch. Subdue it. And have dominion over. None of those words sound religious, do they? None of those words sound religious. Subdue and dominion are not religious words. They are kingdom words. These are words that are used in the kingdom by a king. Have authority, subdue it, take it over, take care of it. What we lost wasn't a religion. What we lost was a kingdom. Our fellowship with the Father. We lost the privileges to be the sons of God. Let me say this again. What we lost was not a religion. What we lost was the kingdom. We lost our citizenship of the kingdom. We lost our fellowship with the Father. We lost the privileges of becoming what? Sons of God. In the book of Judges, chapter 21, verse 25, it's the very last chapter and the very last verse. And it reads like this. Watch this. Listen to this. And in those days, Israel had no king. And everyone did whatever they wanted. Everyone did whatever they saw fit. Beloved, to me, I believe that this is the saddest verse of the entire Bible. You see, when you're not in a relationship with Christ, there is no king sitting on your throne. When you don't have a relationship with Christ, there is no king sitting on your throne. Oh, let me put it this way. Sitting on the throne of your life. And just as it was true then, it's still true today. If there is no king, chaos replaces order. It's so deep, I'm going to say it again. If there is no king, if there's no king sitting on the throne, chaos replaces order. Need to think about this. Because it's easy for our minds to go out there to the world. But let's do some self-examination. Let's look around and not in judgment, but we see that folks, when they lose their relationship with God, immediately their life becomes what? Chaotic. It goes out of control. Wow. If there's no king, chaos replaces order. There are no more absolutes. What was once right now becomes wrong. And what was wrong now becomes right. Violence and crime become the norm. Isn't that what we're seeing here in America? Isn't that what we're seeing here in America? Violence, crime, foul language, bad behavior is tolerated. It is a norm. It's strange now when people will actually step out of the house and actually say good morning to you. You look around like, what, me? And everyone does whatever they please, whatever they want. And I find that to be so sad. I find that to be so sad. I find that to be so sad, even sadder in the household of saints, in the household of faith, in the house of prayer, in the house of worship, in my Father's house, that there could be folks that are sitting in our pews, and I'm talking about the body of Christ worldwide, and there's disorder in their lives, there's violence in their life, they are foul, they there's nothing good that ever comes out of their mouth, because see, it's not a problem of having a filthy mouth, it's really a filthy mind. Paul writes, now time has gone by. Time has gone by. Some 4,000 years have gone by. And Paul writes, when the timing was just right. When the timing was just right, God sent his son to reintroduce the kingdom.
See, many of us are praying. We wonder, when is God ever going to answer a prayer? Have you ever thought that the timing just ain't right? We serve an on-time God. There's a particular moment, there's a particular time when God will answer that prayer. When the timing, when the conditions are just right. Sometimes God is not too quick. See, we're so busy going to God, telling him about the storms. And God, I got trouble. And it seems like God isn't moving within the storm. And it seems like God is never going to take the storm away. You need to understand that sometimes it's the storm is what you need. As I said a few weeks ago, it's within the storm. See, as long as the sun is shining and as long as everything is right with the world and you have no problems, it's easy to be a Christian. Remember, we're talking about character. And so, you ever notice that folks, they're usually expressive in the church and loud and they're really happy, but the moment that they're come into a crisis, the moment they come into a storm, all of a sudden, they shut the doors. They don't answer calls. They're like, I don't need nobody. I can do it all by myself. And they withdraw. And they act totally different than the way you've come to know them. I want you to know that the way you act in the midst of the storm, that's the true you. That's who you really are. You see, because the storms are necessary because they expose the weak parts of the foundation. And so sometimes God is not quick to move the storms out of the way because he needs to expose some things in your life so that you can begin to work on them, so that you can begin to deal with them, so that you can begin, God, take this from me. Building up our... And so understand that if you've been on the storm and God is, you don't think that God is moving the storm, you need to then begin to look, okay, God, what are you exposing? What are you showing me? Man, this is good teaching right here. Amen. You all being blessed? Amen. And so Paul writes, when the timing was just right, God sent his son to reintroduce the kingdom. And to call us back to himself. And to call us back to himself so that we can receive full rights to be heirs to the kingdom. I want you to know that words are very important. And the Bible says, he who hears, let him hear. Let him listen. And sometimes we hear words and we're not really comprehending what they mean. And there's a whole lot of stuff that's being said there. Listen to what he's saying. When the timing was just right, God sent his son to reintroduce the kingdom of God, to call us back to himself so that we could receive full rights to be heirs of the king. You see, and we might receive full what? Rights. That means full privileges. Full privileges of the Son. Jesus came to call us back to himself so that we could receive what? Full what? Right. Privileges. As a child, there's only so much that I can do. But as Son of God, there's so much more that I can do. So much more that I can have. So much more that I can expect as a son. Somebody give God some praise. See, Jesus came to restore. Somebody say restore. Jesus came to restore us. You need to underline that word. You need to write it down. Make sure you get the CD after service. Jesus came to restore. Right? Somebody say restore. And to give us full authority as heirs, as sons of God. You see, at salvation, people think that at salvation, God washes us up and we move forward. That our sins are forgiven and there we go. But that's not what happens at salvation. The Bible says that at salvation, when we confess our sins, right? The Bible says all things have what? Passed away. Here are all things made new. Watch. That word new means to be restored. The word restore, somebody say restore, means to bring back to the original condition. Restore. Restore means to bring things back to the original conditions. If one buys a classic car, one brings it to a repair shop that is experienced what? In restoration. The repair shop is not cleaning the car up to make it look good. They are stripping the car down and restoring it to its original look, its original luster, and its original design. See, y'all don't understand. When we come to Christ, the old things have passed. Here are all things now made new. At that moment, when you receive Jesus, you are restored to your original condition. To the original you. See, God didn't make you who you are. You became who you are. Through life's journey, through life's problems, through life's situations, life's hurts and disappointments. Amen? You became who you are. You became who you are. It was not God's intention, it was not God's plan for you to live the life that you're living now. But at salvation, all those things, what, have been what? Washed away. And now you are what? All things are made new, are restored to its original. Oh, somebody give God some praise. This is some good stuff right here. Now, I need you to understand something. When I'm using the word sons, it includes what? It's not gender, right? It's including all of us, all right? I'm going to be using the word sons. I'm going to be using the word servants. I'm going to be using the word slaves. Because I'm going to be using children. Slaves and servants all mean the same thing. Okay? So whichever word that I'm using today, know that I'm speaking about a child. In the Jewish culture, there are two words for sons. Ben and Bar. Say it with me. Ben and Bar. Ben means that a child is born into a family. But Bar means the sons of inheritance. It also means the maturing of a child. In other words, he's no longer a child. He is now all grown up. The passing of an age. That he is no longer immature, but now he is mature. This is where we get the word that says bar mitzvah. I don't know about you, but I'm a son of inheritance. I'm an heir to the throne. God desires to have sons and not servants. God desires to have sons and not have children. We got too many children in the house. And I'm not talking about the little kids. I'm talking about folks that act childish. We got too many children in the house and not enough sons in the house. God desires to have sons and not servants. Authority cannot be given to servants. Servants do things out of obligations, but sons do things out of the love for the Father.
Man, that's a powerful statement there. That's why you have folks in the house that always feeling like, oh, well, they always tell me to do this and I got to do that. And always feel like they're obligated. I'm obligated. Oh, here I go again with, I got to get, he's asking for more money. Oh, we got to do this and we got to do that. That's not a spirit of sonship. That's a spirit of a slave. Religion produces servants. As a servant, you're always ordered to do this or to do that. Religion produces servants who serve out of obligation. God doesn't want us to do anything out of obligation, but rather to do out of the love for Him. That's why Scripture says that God loves a cheerful giver. See, you can give all the riches. You can give everything. You can seed everything. But if you're not giving it out of the love for the Father, then you're giving it out of obligation, then God can't bless that. You can give, but it just won't be blessed. What little I have, I give, and God blesses me. Sons serve out of the acceptance and favor of the Father. Because those with the spirit of sonship already know that they are accepted in Christ. So they serve out of the abundance of being accepted. I don't mind doing because God will bless me. I don't mind giving because the more I give, the more God gives. The more He supplies. I don't mind doing because God will renew my strength. I don't mind doing this because I know. But servants don't do that because they're always, they're mising. Oh, I can't give what I got. I can't do because I got no time. I can't have, oh, I'm always. Servants are trying to earn their way. You ever hear people say, I'm trying to do what I can to be saved. I'm trying. You don't have to do anything. All you have to do is what? Receive it. That's it. Just receive it. Just believe. Watch this. Watch this. The Bible says, watch this. I have come to give you life and life in abundance. That means overflowing life. There is so much life in you, and yet how many Christians would say, I wish I was dead, but He has come to give you life. Oh, I hate my life, but God has come to give you life. Not just your life, but overflowing life. Watch this. The religions of the world, you have to do certain things to earn your salvation. All we have to do is receive. All the religions of the world, to earn their salvation, they have to be willing to die. And they do. And they take others with them. But our God says, I have come to give you life, and life overflowing, life in abundance. What I'm saying is this, I said this before, and I'm going to keep saying it until you all get this. They're willing to die for their religious belief. And we're not even willing to live right. We're not even willing to live right. We're not even willing to live right. Sons walk in joy and find comfort in the presence of the King. Servants walk in lack and in self-worth. In other words, they lack self-worth. They walk in loneliness, bound, never having enough, and burdened. They're always feeling burdened, always feeling weighted down. Sons of God know how to walk in the Father's rest and cease from their own works so the Father can have his way in their lives. Jesus said it this way, let not my will be done, but your will be done. In other words, let it be not what I want to do, but you, what you see. And that's what sons do. This is what sons of God do. They say, God, you know what? It's not about me. It's about you. It's not about what I want. It's about what you want. So we lay down our works so that God can begin to work his will in and through our lives. Somebody give God some praise. Sons of God are always looking on how to bless others. Sons of God are always looking for ways to bless people. Matthew 20 and 28 says this, for even the Son of Man came not to be what? Served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. What does scripture say? No greater love is this than a man should lay down his life for another. Wow. See, that's the spirit of the sonship. That you're not governed or led by fear. You're led by the spirit of boldness. You're led by the spirit of God, which is that spirit of sonship. We're not afraid of death. Death has no sting on us whatsoever. Death has no hold on us. Because those of us that are sons of God, guess what? You will never die. You will never die. Perhaps maybe one day if the Lord tarries, maybe this body will go to sleep. But I will never, ever die. See, many Christians are waiting to die so that they can live forever. That is so wrong. That's an erroneous teaching. I'm living forever now. You know why? Because I have a relationship with the Father. Listen to what Jesus said. He was in the garden. He was in the garden praying before he was arrested. He said, Father, my prayer is not for me, but for them. Them is you and I. Watch what he says. Watch this. Now this is life eternal, that they may know you. Did y'all get that? This is eternal life, that we what? Would know God. John 3:16, sir, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whomsoever what? Shall not perish. Not perish, but have everlasting life. It's kind of changing everything right now. You see, as sons of God, I don't have to fear death. I can walk in the favor of God. I can walk in the abundance of God as sons of God. I don't mind giving it all because I know that God will what? Supply. I know that God will redeem. I know that God will watch over me. I'm not concerned because his eyes is always on the sparrow. He's always watching out. He's always looking for us. Oh my God. We should never confuse serving to being a servant. Don't ever confuse. See, some Christians, they feel because they're always doing, they start feeling like they're a slave to. Start feeling like a servant. If you're called to usher, do it unto the Lord. You're called to sing, do it unto the Lord. You're called to play, do it unto the Lord. You're called to dance, you do it. Don't ever look at it as a task. Don't ever look at it as a burden. Amen? Because you're serving the Lord. You are not in bondage. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So don't mistake your serving for being a servant. Heirs to the throne are always looking for ways to serve. If you look at the royal family of England, you will notice that the family is always involved in serving. Did you know that? Royalty is not about themselves. Royalty is always looking out for the kingdom, for the betterment of the people. Because in the kingdom, the better the people do, the better the king looks. And the king always desires to look good. And so it's to the benefit of the king that the people or the citizens do well. And so this is why Christians need to understand that God desires to bless you, that God desires for you to live and to be in good health, that God desires for you to prosper. I don't know what happened, why Christians think that to prosper is such a bad word in the kingdom. Our God is so wealthy, our King is so wealthy, our Father is so wealthy that gold has no value. Because the streets are not paved with tar. They're paved with what? Gold. Wow. There are folks that God blesses and all of a sudden they're ashamed because God blessed them. They want to keep it down. Don't be ashamed to tell folks, God bless me today. God bless me today. God bless me with new clothes. God bless me with a new car. God bless me. God bless me with a new apartment. God bless me with new furniture. Don't be afraid to share what God has blessed you with. Don't be ashamed. Here in America, and I'm almost done. Here in America, the closest we have to royalty are the Kennedys. And one can see a legacy of service that has been passed down throughout the generations with the Kennedys. It's the business of the royals to desire to serve. It's the business of the royals to desire to serve. If you truly want to become sons and are making steps, you ought to want to what? Serve. You ought to desire to serve. What can I do? What can I stand in? How can I help? Get involved in the arena of servanthood. Get involved in saving souls. Get involved in the worship. Get involved with the work of the church. There's a whole lot of work that needs to be done. And it can't get done without you. Don't you know that your lack of inactivity holds back the blessings of God? Holds back. I'm almost done. As sons of God, heirs to the throne, it needs to be our business. It needs to be our business. We need to make it our business to serve. It is one of your highest callings as royalty. It is to serve. There's no higher calling than to serve. Sons are always looking for ways to serve. As you serve, you are expanding the territory of heaven. Jesus came to restore sons to their rightful place. Jesus came to restore sons to their rightful place. Watch this, verse 5 says that we might receive the full rights of sons. Jesus came to make sons with full rights, with full authority, royal power of the kingdom of God. Beloved, in closing, it is my hope that after speaking on becoming sons of God for weeks, that you can begin to talk like a son. See, because your vocabulary has to change. As heirs to the throne, you have to begin to change your vocabulary. Here, let me give you an example. How many of us talk with friends or co-workers
about your money problems? Ever mentioned? Come on, let's be real. You know, I just don't have money. I just, you know, I'm short this month. I'm just, you know, really struggling with my budget. Anybody? I saw one hand go up. Man, change that vocabulary. Because that's the vocabulary of a son. I mean, of a child, of a servant. Do you know that royalty never speaks about money? Royalty never speaks about money. Royalty never speaks about money. You see, money, watch this, I'm going to learn you something. Money attracts work. That's all that does. The need for money attracts work. What is the first thing you think of when you need more money? I got to work. I got to get another job. I got to work overtime. The need for money attracts more work. You work harder, you work longer, and you still don't have enough money. But watch this. If you're heirs to the throne, watch this. You need to speak wealth. You need to speak wealthy. You need to walk wealthy. You need to conduct yourself as royals. Royalty never speaks about money. We sit down at the table with family and friends, and we're talking about, always talking about our budgets, always talking about our money. Let's change that. That's the first thing that you need to change. Because what? If you can learn to be wealthy, wealthy has nothing to do with your money. Because I've seen some rich folks, and I know some millionaires, okay? I had one back in the 80s who was my friend. But even though he was a millionaire, he was also the poorest person I have ever met. He had a poor mentality. But I've seen some poor folks that are wealthy. So what is wealth? It's an attitude. It's a mentality. It's a change of the mind. When you see, I can't, how many of us want our lives to be changed? Watch this. I can't change your life until I can change your mind. If I can change your mind, then I can change your life. We are renewed by the renewing of your mind, not your life. Watch this. Now, if you can learn to what? Speak wealth. That means your vocabulary has to change. Stop talking about your money problems. Stop that. And start talking what? Kingdom. Start changing the attitude. Start being wealthy. Watch this. Wealth attracts the money. Wealth attracts the money. You will see that your favor will change, will increase in your life. And all of a sudden now, you're going to be called and you're going to say, all of a sudden, say, oh, we wanted to give you a raise. Oh, we wanted to give you this. That's favor. Because what? Your wealth then attracts the money. That's why I don't ask for money. And everywhere I go, God blesses me. God blesses me. I don't say I don't struggle sometimes. What I'm saying is that I'm not concerned about it. God always makes a way. Beloved, it is my hope that after weeks of speaking on becoming sons, that we can begin to think, that we can begin to talk and live as sons of God and take the steps necessary to becoming sons of God. It starts by what? Having commitment, having a made up mind. God, I'm going to serve you. God, I'm going to grow in you. God, I want to mature in you. God, I want the anointing. God, I desire this. God, now begin to take the steps to, amen, and begin to what? Get into the Word of God. Begin to attend the church at a regularly, amen. Attend the Bible class, amen. Get connected to the altar, and you're going to see the changes in your life so that you can become heirs to the kingdom of God. Somebody give God some praise. Give him some praise. Give him some praise.
Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Give him some praise. Give him some praise.
God of mercy.
Let's stand to your feet.
Love of mercy.